All right. Good morning, everybody. Come on, welcome to our first week in a new series that we are calling Torch on Carrying the Vision. Man, so excited for today. Thank you for all those watching online with us today. We're so thankful for you guys as well. Come on, Elevate City. Let's just welcome all those watching with us online. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Man, just so pumped for today. A lot happening. Again, if you came in and you saw the big old tent and said, man, what is going on in February at Elevate City that they'd have an outdoor tent? Yeah, only us, right? There is the heater. It's moving, all right? So there'll be a heater that's going. But nonetheless, man, all of our small groups. And we just don't have any room in here in this building, obviously. And so we have to kind of do traffic that way as well. But we'll have a great time with it today. And really excited for small group semester. I feel like when we take this time off in December, January, it's like the longest stretch, and it feels like forever since we had the last semester. And so I know many are ready to go. And so we're going to have a great time in this series over the next several weeks. God just really put it on my heart to really, it's been a while, and I really wanted to do a series on just, man, our vision, the direction that God has us on. And I'm thinking, you know, I know this, that there is some things that are happening, movement. God is speaking, and I pray that you sense it. I pray that you feel it. I pray that you're seeing it. And God is just up to some powerful things, and I know the best is yet to come. Amen? And so we're excited for that. And so I just can't wait to share this news, so I'm going to share it up front. Come on, somebody, all right? And so I've been telling you last week that there's been just a miracle that's been in motion that only God can orchestrate. And for those that don't know, that we have, over the course of almost 7 years now, we have been doing a lot of ministry down in our inner city. And well, I'm so thankful for Dan Sparling, all of our serve team who helps to continue to make that happen, and our third Saturday serve, also our team that helps to lead for our homeless downtown, as well as a lot of ministry happening. God has honestly opened up some very unique doors for us already in 2019. When I came out of my vacation time last summer, the Holy Spirit really put it upon my heart, and I remember talking to Dan a little bit about this, and that we just need to continue to do our part in our city to continue to reach across denominational lines for the glory of God. And so one of the things that I did last year, after I really felt like the Lord put that on my heart, is I was actually invited to sit on the board of helping with Parkview, helping to oversee an initiative that is on the heart of Parkview, which I think is amazing, and with the CEO, but and specifically to help reach and connect clergy and pastors and leaders and churches in our city, and just, again, reaching across denominational lines. I mean, there's some real movement happening. So we were one of the churches, one of seven churches that was invited as a senior pastor to come sit on this board as a voluntary deal. And so I looked at everything, prayed about it. Didn't take much prayer, to be honest, because the initiative was incredible. And so said yes to it. And so we've just been working and trying to connect and build relationships with other churches and pastors and help resource. We've got some stats that just aren't good in Fort Wayne, and I'm just thankful for many others that are having this heart to step up in our city to reach more people, but also to help churches that are struggling. And so we just want to be a part of the answer, everybody. We just want to be, we don't want to sit on the sideline. God has not called Elevate City to sit on the sidelines. We are not a sidelines church. Yeah, we all right up in the game, all right? We all up in it. Yeah, it's like third quarter, let's go, you know? And so we all up in the game, and we're doing our part, and we're going to continue to do our part. So we've got a real heart for downtown. And so just over the course of the last few months, we are making more connections with inner city churches. And it's unique because obviously we've been doing ministry, and now some of these inner city churches are now coming to us. And so between myself and Dan, we're having some meetings with different pastors and leaders from inner city, and just helping to facilitate what outreaches look like, how to effectively reach their community, but also with the understanding that I've made it, you know, I told them that we have a real heart one day to obviously have a second location in our inner city. I think that's coming sooner than what we think. And honestly, man, I really feel like it'll be sometime next year that we have our second location, and it's moving. But with all that being said, we've been praying over the last several years. Everybody say years. For just transportation, man, because we've got a lot of people that we reach in our inner city but have no means to be able to get up to our church until we get a second campus. But this past few weeks, There's a businessman that does not go to our church. He's out of the Indianapolis area. And I begin to share with him our vision, begin to share with him our initiative and some things that we're really wanting to do as a church and continue to grow, because we are a church for the city. It's called Elevate City Church. Come on, somebody. All right. And so... So I was telling him about it, and he's talking to me a little bit about what are your needs. And I said, we need buses right now. And he said, okay. He said, how much? And can I, let me just say this. You always better be ready for prayers that you've been praying for. Because when God's ready to answer them, are you ready? And so I've just been learning so much in this race that we need to be ready for whatever it is that God wants to do next and where he wants to take us next. Not, hey, wait a couple weeks, let me figure this out. So I was really pumped to be able to not only have a conversation, but to say, no, we're ready. We just need the money, all right? And so he literally just said, he said, how much is it? And, told him for the buses. I said, how much? He said, I'll send a check this week. And hang on, yeah, I about fell out of my chair at my desk. I mean, it was just that. He's got a gift of giving. That's his heart as a businessman in the body of Christ, and doesn't even go to our church, and which I think is amazing. So as of this week, we are purchasing, and also I told him, I said, but we as a church want to come and sow a little bit as well. I know you got the heart to take care of it all. Let us sow a little bit, because we need some skin in the game, because this is part of our heart, and I'm thankful for your heart, and trust me. He said, no, I get it. So together, we are getting 2 15-passenger buses. Yeah, go ahead and put that up. Yeah. And... all paid for. I mean, it's amazing. All paid for. And so we will be busing and transporting people from our inner city downtown. And the great thing about our church right now is we're in 3 services. So we're going to be working on bus routes for our 9 a.m. service, 12 p.m. service, to be able to bring people that have been wanting to come to our church until we get a second location. Because when we get our second location downtown, then those bad boys are going to be used for busing in people to that location. And so, can you see vision, everybody? Can you see God moving, all right? And so, yeah, come on, can we give God, this is about reaching people. This is about reaching people. Yeah, come on, somebody. That's a miracle. I don't know if you know, you can go look it up when you get home. Them bad boys ain't cheap. And so, man, but I'm thankful to Tom and Marty Jett. I know they're watching. We love you. We thank God for you. We know that, man, just your hearts and your generosity. I know you didn't even want this, but just thank you. And we love you. We thank God for you believing in us and our vision. And we as a church, again, we just thank you for your faithfulness so much. So, yeah, incredible. Vision is growing. We sing a song around here about vision growing. Come on. And so if you want to be a part of the bus ministry, come on, somebody. You can see Pastor Kyle Sadler or Dan Sparling. They are already working on this. And so this is something that is already in the works. You don't need a CDL to drive these bad boys. Come on. You just need your license, all right? And let me just say, I drove it this week, and I told the guys, I said, man, I wouldn't mind driving this. I said, this is fun. And so I'm just thankful for what God's doing. And listen, this is bigger than us. And so as vision grows, guess who's got to supply it? God's going to supply everything that we need. If we'll just do our part and stay faithful, man, I'm just telling you, we take care of God's business, he'll take care of our business, and I just love when God does stuff like that. And how about a breakthrough miracle out of 21 days in prayer and fasting like that? Come on, amen. Woo, all right, so we got third Saturday, serve this Saturday, all right? And what a great timing, and actually one of the things that we're doing this Saturday is partnering with one of those inner city churches that are downtown. They're needing some paint done, and so if you're interested, you want to be a part of what's happening, man, outside of the church, I'm just telling you, I got a whole message on it today. Make sure you can either sign up on the app or go connect with our team at the Next Steps area today, and we'll get you some information on our third Saturday, sir, but man, things are happening. So Proverbs 29:18, grab your message notes. Let's go. We got some road to travel on today. Proverbs 29:18. It says this: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So how many know vision is important? Everybody shout vision. If you don't have vision, if you don't understand where you're going, you're going to stumble all over yourself. And so what's important for us, and I really felt like in this season, in January, February time, God was very specific in what he had placed in my heart to start the year out with a series on the Holy Spirit called Pneuma, and then to take the next month or so, a little over a month, and we're going to talk vision. We're going to talk about where we're going and things that are happening and continuing to make the vision clear so that you'll not have any question about where we're headed and you'll understand how to communicate to other people. And we try to make the language real simple around here, and we do that. You'll see that in your worship guide as well. But I want to start off today with talking about the promises of God, because God has placed some promises in our heart as a church. There's some things that he has spoken that he wants to do in us and through our church. You know, I just think about being a nine-year-old boy when God put a vision on my heart to one day move to Fort Wayne and to plant a church. And man, I remember dreaming about it. I can remember praying about it. I just had so many dreams, never knowing what it was like, but knew that maybe one day, God would begin to make this a reality. And to see what God is doing, we'll celebrate 7 years next month, is nothing short of a miracle. And you're sitting in a miracle. I'll never forget year number one. We barely survived, but we survived. And we were the only church in the history of ARC at that time that went through a tumultuous time of having, we had our location for 3 months, and then we got the boot because the school system in our city said no more churches in our schools to be set up. And so then we had to find a new home. And so we survived with about 55 of us in that first year. And then honestly, right after year one, man, we just went for it. And God just began to do his thing and to build his church. And man, we see what God's doing today. And it's incredible. But it's interesting that more than 3,000 years ago, God made some incredible promises to the Israelites. And these promises have stood and are standing the test of time, because they have an incredible impact for our lives today. And their promises that are for us, and it represents God's eternal plan for the lives of his people. And so there's always been four promises in the heart of God. He's always had it in his heart to take us on a spiritual journey that honestly, again, has called for us as his people and as his church. And I'm going to read that scripture in a few minutes, but I want to start out just kind of laying a little bit of a foundation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says this: God has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. In other words, God never designed for you and I to live a natural life. He's always designed you and I to live a supernatural life. We learned so much of that in the month of January. And it goes on to say, and to escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So this promise, he promises two things in here. The promise number one is that he wants you and I to participate in his divine nature, the supernatural life that he has. And then secondly, to escape the corruption and to be able to, how to do that? To know his word and to be in an intimate relationship with him. And so before I talk to you about the promises and what they are, I want you to learn what really promises actually really mean. So let me give this to you. Promise is this: if you're following in your notes, you can jot this down. It's an offer with a guaranteed result. Promise is an offer with a guaranteed result. One that often begins with declaring what something will be done or something that will happen. But chances are, if you're like me, that you have experienced probably a lot of broken promises. How many have ever experienced some broken promises in your life? Sure. And maybe in family, maybe in context with where you work, maybe in context and just other things that you've had relationally with people. But I want to say this, that when God gives a promise, he always fulfills his promises. Amen? He is a God that holds to his word. And let me say it this way. It may not be how you think it's going to happen, and it also may not be in the timing of which you think it'll happen, but it'll happen. The promises of God are yes, they are amen. And so he is a God that he will not lie. And so Joshua 21:45, let me read a few verses to you. It says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Hebrews 6 says, when God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word a rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. Would you say that with me? God can't break his word. And so I just wanted to encourage you today that no matter where you're at and no matter what's happening in your life, that God can't break his word. That he is the God that what he has spoken to you will come to pass. And listen, again, it may not happen like you think it's going to happen. It may not happen in the timing of which you think it should happen. God knows exactly what he's doing. And we need to know and be reminded today that God will not break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason, I like this image, just imagine this next part of this verse, to grab the promised hope with both hands, and to never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God. So I want to give you three thoughts real quick on these two verses that we just read. First one is this, is that you and I need to know his promises. We need to know them, need to be in the Word. And because here's the deal, you can't claim the promises of God if you don't know the promises of God. So this is important that we understand this. 1 Chronicles 17:19 says, O Lord, for the sake of your servant and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. Well, where has God made known his promises? In the Bible. It's a book of promises for our life. And listen, you need to know, because you and I are going to have times of adversity, times of difficulty, tough times that when you are through them, guess what? We learned so much in January on this, that your intellect and what you know is not enough to get you through some of the greatest storms of life. It's only going to be through the power of God. And one of the most dangerous weapons that you and I can carry is understanding the word of God and knowing how to speak it in whatever season. I want to give you just some examples. You guys can just start throwing them up there. I think about battles that you and I face. Go ahead, you can throw the rest of them up there. Battles, you need to know the promises of God. You know, I think about Luke 10:19, that Jesus said, I give you all power and authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. If you're going through a battle right now, can I just tell you today, you need to know that promise. You need to be able to declare. And I'm just giving you some very simple examples. Man, if you're in a place of fear, guess what? Psalm 27:1. Lord is my light, salvation, whom shall I fear? If you're battling sickness today, guess what? He's a God that heals. You need to know his word declares in Psalm 103:3 that he heals all my diseases. Come on, if you're afraid of the dentist like me, he's got one. He crowns him with many crowns. Come on, and open wide thy mouth. Glory to God. Woo! Oh, I'm being funny there. That was funny for you, all right? There ain't nothing worse than hearing the zzz, oh, it's like nails on a chalkboard. I'm a weenie when it comes to the dentist. Even when cleaning my teeth, I need you to put me under. You say, I know it. I'm just a baby, and I can't stand that chipping, that zzz, oh, man. Like, I just about pass out. Like, Lord have mercy. So I just let them know, and they'll say, Mr. Mills, you need that laughing gas today? Or I said, I don't care what you got. Just put me out. You know what I mean? Like, hurry up. I hate the dentist. And so anyways, but when life doesn't make sense, man, you got to know the promises of God. Amen? Here's the other thing. You need to know them, but you need to understand them too. You got to understand the promises. I think many people get frustrated with God sometimes because they feel like God is just presenting this false advertisement. And that man, he says it, but what's happening? Let me speak to that. Numbers 23:19, it says this, that God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human. How many thank God for that? So he does not change his mind. How has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Listen, his promises are eternal, and they are unconditional, and they're for you and I today. But listen to me, every promise has a premise, and you and I have a part to play. God is the one who fulfills the promises, but you and I also have responsibilities within that process of the promise, all right? And so I think what's important, if you have found yourself in a place of great frustration, and maybe you're not seeing the breakthrough that you've hoped, let me just pause right here and just say it this way. If you've started out 2019, and you're in February, and this year is going like every other year has gone, can I just say this? I know we've come out of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and the hope is, man, that we have gotten closer to God, and I believe many have. But if you still find yourself in a place of a struggle, can I just say, what a great day today to make the day to begin the surrender. Yeah, so keep surrendering, actually. Let me say it that way. And never stop surrendering. And so 2019 still doesn't have to look like every other year. What if today began the day that you said, man, I'm not playing games. Enough's enough. Because if it's moving towards like every other year, we've got to make some changes. And God's not just going to force on you to make that happen. You and I have a part to play that we have to walk things out. So I just want to give something real quick. There's a few things today that I want to just get in your spirit, get in you to help build in you today. Three things real quick, not in your notes, that I think, if you're a note taker, you want to probably grab a hold of this. Three things that I think is a heart test that to help you to know, man, is my heart right? How am I doing? We all need a heart checkup from time to time. It's good to have a healthy routine and go get physicals at the doctor. How many know what I'm talking about? And so if it's good to do those things, how many know much more is it important that we do a spiritual heart checkup in our life as well? Amen? So three quick things. I'm just going to give it quick. First is this, is that we must be living in obedience to God because sin can hinder our relationship with God. Let me say it this way. I have things that I can give my kids, but I can't give those things if they choose not to be a part of the family. So God is saying, man, I've got things that I want to bless you with, and I want to move in your life, but if you're choosing not to be a part of the family, then that's on us, all right? Second thing is this, is that we must walk in faith. Can I give you just some pastoral advice? This is a subject of faith in your life that you got to get used to. Faith is what's going to carry you in your toughest times. You've got to believe that no matter what it is that you're facing today, that God has a way. All right? Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. Here's the third thing, is we must be, oh, this is hard for me, and this is hard for you, I'm sure, that we must be patient and wait for his timing. Because his way is always better than my way. And whether you believe that or not, you better convince yourself of that quickly. Or I'm telling you, it'll help, in my opinion, not bring as much delay if you'll just buy into the fact that God knows way more than I do. And his way is always better than my way. He knows exactly when to fulfill every promise. And we have to learn to trust his judgment. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. Everybody shout yes. In Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Here's the last thing. I need to know his promises. I need to understand his promises. And then here's the third one, is I need to pursue his promise. I need to pursue them. I need to chase them down. Can I tell you what happens in the life of a Christian when we get stagnant and we're not moving? It's because we've lost pursuit. We've lost our why. I believe why we have more dying churches in America today, because we've got many churches and many, many Christians that have lost their why. They have lost their passion. They have lost their purpose. Their eyes have gone on them and have left the focus of what God has called us in the Great Commission to focus on people and to help make a difference in the world. So we have a lot of dying churches that are closing their doors, and we have a lot of stagnant Christians in the world that just aren't moving. Some aren't really even moving forward or backwards. It's just not moving. And so that's why it's important that we stay passionate. We stay in pursuit. Why do we talk about prayer so much, and why do we do prayer rallies and things like that? Because prayer is the gas to the tank, baby. Like, you ain't going nowhere today. How many know if you try to leave church today, you don't have gas in the tank, you ain't going nowhere today. You're going to be trying to hope to find another ride or figure that out. But it's fuel, and it's why we've got to stay in passionate pursuit of God, all right? And so I'm going to share something with you in a minute that I think will hopefully help to ignite this a little bit more. Psalm 119 says, my eyes stayed open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. In other words, I'm constantly seeking to find his will and what he wants. I'm chasing after the promises. Promise also literally means this, to send forth. Promise implies the future, all right? And, you know, it's been interesting since 21 days of prayer. God's had me up a lot through the night lately, just talking to me and showing me some things. And it happened again the other night when the buses, when all this began to come about, of course, if you know me, I love vision. And so that's why I really love this series, by the way, and we're going to have a good time with it. But I was thinking about vision, and here's what I was thinking about was the opportunity that we have to reach more people. This is not for ego's sake. I don't care how big this church gets. This is never about ego's sake. This has always been for God so loved the world. That's why, because of that, we must grow as a church. Anything that is healthy grows. And so that's why we dream about our second location that's coming sooner than later. And you'll be hearing more and more, but why? Because God's trying to prepare us to be ready. When he says go, we need to be ready. Listen, if God were to answer every prayer that you have prayed, are you ready for it? And that's something the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about. Okay, a lot of prayers have been prayed over the years, Kyle. Now are you ready for it? Here's a test. Here's two buses. Do something with it, you know? And I looked at the guys this week, and we met, and we've been talking over the last few weeks, but I said, oh, yeah, we're ready. We're ready. And I loved it. They were chomping at the bit. Why? Because they see it. They see the vision. They see the people, more and more people that we can reach for the glory of God. I can't wait to reach more people. I can't wait to continue to fill this place, and I can't wait for the second location that will have to come about. It excites me to know that we are a church that's passionate about reaching people and reaching those that don't know God. So here's what I know. If you know the promises of God, if you understand the promises of God, and you're in pursuit of the promises of God, there is a better life than the one that you're currently living. If you'll make that choice for your life, all right? So God has made you and I a lot of promises, and he centered them on four core promises that he has for us. And God first made these promises to the Israelites in Egypt. So it really begins right here in Exodus chapter 6. And then what we see, it really can continue to carry on through the book of Revelation. Let's read it. If you've got a pen or whatever, there's a couple things you want to underline here. And I think I did it in this verse for you to help see this. But it says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I want to show you the promises. The Lord says, I am the Lord. Here's the first one. And I will bring you out. Promise number one. From under the yoke of the Egyptians. Here's the second one, that I will free you from being slaves to them. Now, you need to understand something. When God delivered the Israelites, he delivered them in a time that they were in bondage, all right? So they were in a place of complete bondage there in Egypt. And so God's freeing them, bringing them out. And here's the problem that God was seeing with the Israelites. He said, okay, I've brought you out, but now here's what I got to continue to do. I've got to bring freedom to your life because you still got some Egypt in you. You still got some old thinking that you can't continue to carry on. You still got some old mindsets and some things that I need to come bring freedom in your life for, all right? And it goes on to say, here's the third one, and God says, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Here's the fourth one, that I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. The Jewish people still to this day call these the four I wills of God. They are actually still a part of the annual Passover that takes place. And so after every I will, they drink a sip of the wine and just declaration of the promises of God for their life. And so God has always had it in his heart to take you and I on a spiritual journey. But here's the key. You and I play a part of that journey as well. And God is wanting us to walk this journey out. So here's the first one of understanding. This is our vision for our church. Is the first promise God said is, I will bring you out. I will bring you out. God's first desire is just to get you out of the bondage you're in. And that's knowing God. He wants you and I to know him in a passionate relationship with him. Before he does anything else in your life, he wants you to understand the promise of salvation, that God promises you and I that. And salvation, here's what it's not. It's not being religious. Salvation is not just joining a church. It's when you give your heart and your life completely over to Jesus Christ and that he is the one who is in complete control of your life. It's a personal relationship. Are you with me? It's a heart of true repentance, actually. How many of y'all like some Red Bull? Anybody? Nope. All right, a few of you do. All right. And I drink Bang. That's the best stuff. That's the clean one, all right? That's the Bang, zero calories, zero sugar. Come on, somebody. All right, anyway. But here's my point today. You're probably wondering, man, what's he doing with some Red Bull up there? Here's what I know. I think that Christians everywhere need to be reminded to stop looking at Jesus like we look at a Red Bull. So what do you mean, Pastor? That a quick fix on church on Sunday does not make you a disciple. And if that is all that you and I will ever have, it's not enough. All right? And so developing a personal relationship with Jesus, listen to me, God never said it was all going to be easy, but it's always going to be worth it. And if you and I will make the decision in our life, listen to me, to go on a passionate pursuit of God. That, listen, that we're not just playing church or just coming to church. Well, I'm just here, Pastor. Well, I'm glad you're here, but what are we doing with our life? God has called us to more and to live more and to make a difference. And so I just don't want to be, I just have never been a sideline guy. Like, I want to be in the game. I want to be a part of what God's doing. I don't like cheering in the stands. I'd rather be in the game. Are you with me? And so... Paul said it best. He said, you've got to learn to die daily. Meaning this, you've got to die to your wants and your right to be right all the time and submit to his will and to submit to his control and to submit to his direction for your life. Either God has a better way or he doesn't. You got to believe that he does. And not only that, is understanding that if you make this decision that I'm going all in, I'm going to pursue the promises, I'm going to know them, I'm going to understand them, I'm going to pursue them, guess what? You're going to leave a legacy of impact for generations to come. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you with me today? Come on. I want to leave an impact for generations to come. And I don't want to just talk about it. The Bible says in Titus 3, it wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin. Come on. Ordered every which way by our glands. I love the Message Bible. Going around with a chip on our shoulder. Hating and hating back. Everybody say but. Oh, it's important to read the buts in the Bible, all right? But when God, our kind and loving Savior, God stepped in, he saved us from all that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath. I mean, like a good bath. And we came out of it new people, washed inside out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior, Jesus, poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. And there's more to life to come, an eternity of life. You can count on this. Here's the second promise that was given in Exodus. God said, I will free you. And that for us, our second part is know God and then find freedom. Find freedom. Here's the thing, when you get saved, your spirit man is made perfect. It's the only part of you that's like God. But here's what I know, there's a natural part of us that gets us in trouble. That's where we need the help, and that's where we need the work. Are you with me? It's kind of like a baby, fully alive, but a lot of growing to do. Amen? And so we have to give permission to the Holy Spirit to do the work that's necessary. We talked about the fire of the Holy Spirit weeks ago, the purification promise. And here's one of the promises of God. God promises us deliverance. There's a lot of Christians in the world that get stuck between knowing God and freedom and trying to find freedom. There's a lot of Christians in the world that just get stuck between those two and really never go on to make a difference in their life. Listen, the calling and the anointing on this church, there's a mandate of this church to always be called to action. Always called to next steps. What are we doing to help take people the next step in their walk with Christ? Why? Because we're not a church for the sidelines. Pastor Dino Rizzo was here some years ago. He spoke prophetically over this church on this stage and spoke over us. And he said, God has said that Elevate City is a church that's called to the front row of what God wants to do in Fort Wayne. And I still believe it. And we're going to continue. And we're seeing things happen. And again, it's going to happen as God plans things out. But all of us have areas we need deliverance. And deliverance isn't, listen, it isn't for people with demons, all right? It's for anyone who is still struggling in their sin nature. We need deliverance. James 5:16 talks the importance of accountability. Accountability is crucial in your walk with Christ. All right, the accountability, James 5:16, it says, confess your trespasses or your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. I think it's incredibly, incredibly important that we get this, but I think it's incredibly just awesome to know that God wants us to go to him for forgiveness, and then he uses people to help bring healing in our life. Yeah, it's amazing, and that's why small groups are so crucial. That's why we got to get a hold of small groups. And here's what I've learned about small groups and just my life in general is that you may impress people with your strengths, but I believe we connect with people with our weaknesses. Yeah. Is there something about getting in a room with people that have some of the same struggles that I do that we're going to work this thing out? We're going to find freedom together in this. Because if you have an issue, how do you want to deal with it? You want to deal with it publicly like this for all to know? Probably not. Or do you want to deal with it in the safety of people who love you and are with you? Small groups are the place. Everybody say small groups are the place. Quickly, I'm going to show you this. Four aspects of your life. This is why, this is not your notes. This is why I put this in my notes, I think on Thursday or Friday. I can't remember. It was just late in the game on my message this week. But four aspects of all of our lives. And this is going to be a real good picture of why you and I need small groups. Well, hey, hang on. Don't go too fast here. Go back just to arena. Oh, no. Oh, Lord. Oh, there we go. All right. Rewind. There we go. All right. So we got the arena. That's where I know you, you know me. In other words, this is kind of the arena that we see everybody. We see each other's faces, see each other's life. But then here's another aspect of a person's life. Here's the second one. That's the mask. I've always dreamed of a church that we don't have to wear this. That we can just come in as we are and be, man, if our day just absolutely stunk through the week, then we can be honest enough and say, man, it stunk. I need some help. Can you pray for me? Can we talk about this? All right? But here's the deal about the mask is I know what's going on in me, but you don't. So we wear that mask. And then here's the third aspect, and that's blind spots that every one of us have. And if you don't know them, you'll get blindsided. So blind spots are spots that I don't see, but others see. Others who love me and others I trust see those, which is why we have got to be people that are teachable always. Because, man, there ain't nothing worse than trying to do life with somebody that knows it all. Frustrating. And that's pride. And we need to humble ourselves. And here's the deal. I'm thankful for relationships in my life that help me with blind spots. I'm thankful for Pastor Mike and Sherry Nichols and Pastor Rich in this church that helped me in this area of my life. I'm thankful for my overseers and relationship in my life that helped me know the blind spots, who love me enough to help and encourage and support. And guess what? You need that too. You need that too in your life, all right? And then here's the final thing is potential. Potential is I don't know, but you don't know. That's what makes this so awesome, because this is why the last reason for groups is incredibly important. It's because growth happens in relationships. That's why you need people that are going to love you and root you on, people that really love you. They ain't going to talk about you, all right, but love you, be there for you, all right? Do life with you, support you, and trust. Real life change and growth happens in relationships, not with information. And let me say it this way. You could write this down that we are the, listen, don't miss this. We are the sum total of our relationships. Think about it. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Your relationships are everything. What do you spend time talking about? If you're spending time talking about other people all the time, you better run from that relationship. But if you're spending time talking about, man, iron sharpening iron, man, let's work through this, man, so we can help people. Come on, let's make a difference in those honest conversations. Romans 7 says, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, man, I love this verse, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Deliverance is different from salvation. Salvation takes care of our eternity. Deliverance determines the quality of life that you'll have here on the earth. It's why we need to find freedom in our life. Salvation is instant. Deliverance is a process. Listen to me. For those that just got saved, listen to me, those that are watching, listen to me. When you go through that salvation experience, listen, there's a process of walking things out. So, man, I'm still struggling with that addiction after I gave my life to the Lord. It's a process. But you've got to commit to the process. Give God the opportunity to use his people to help bring healing to your life. And typically, because we continue to think, well, I can do this on my own, and if I do this and I do that, no. It's not never been about I. It's always been about we. We need each other. We need help. And so I want to encourage you, don't get stuck between knowing God and finding freedom, because there's so much more. And it's the third promise that God wants to get us to, where he said, I will redeem you. And he's saying this, I want you to discover your purpose. I want you to figure it out so that you can go into Fort Wayne and beyond and make a difference with your life. To redeem something means to put it back to its original intent. Once we experience salvation and deliverance, God promises us restoration. And this is where the Christian life, man, gets fun. But it's unfortunate many never get here. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 that it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we heard of Christ and our hope, got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall process he's working out in everything and everyone. God has a plan for your life to make a difference on this earth. It's the goal of our church. It's the goal of our church to be spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. I think we've got enough fat Christians in the world today. And I mean on the consuming part of we just sit in church and we don't ever do anything with it. God has not called his church, the big C, to sit. God's always, if you notice and you read the Gospels, you always see Jesus was always moving. There's movement. It's the movement, the Jesus movement. Come on, somebody. And that's where we've got to understand we're spiritual contributors, not called to be spiritual consumers. And some of us need this. We need to find out what it's all about. We have Growth Track at our noon time today. If you've not taken that steps, maybe you've kind of kicked the tires around here seeing, man, I don't know if maybe this is home for me. You need to go through the process of Growth Track. Figure out those gifts so that you can start living it out and making a difference. Get on the dream team. We're getting ready to have one of our biggest parties of the year next month. But you can only go if you're on the dream team. Get on the dream team. And trust me, our parties are good around here. All right? And we've got a Christian comedian coming in, all kinds of entertainment. It's going to be fun. And so, but you got to get plugged in. Start making a difference. Here's the final promise that God gives. He said, I will take you as my own people. And that's know God. Everybody say this with me. Know God. Find freedom. Discover your purpose. And then make a difference. The final promise of God is, man, he wants to put you on the team to make a difference. This is the ultimate goal. This is the ultimate goal. Church, a vision, a team. Because nothing of great impact in the kingdom ever gets done alone. And there's an offer on the table to all of us that God wants to bring us out from a place of bondage and let God heal and deliver you if you're struggling today. But you'll never experience fulfillment, man, until you're on the team making a difference with your life. God promises you and I fulfillment. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it to the full. That's God's offer to you. It's his offer to you. Each of us are on a spiritual journey no matter where you're at. I want to end with this story. On Friday evening, we got Ashton a hoverboard for her birthday. Yeah. Some of y'all know what happened. Know where this story's going. And she was on 20 minutes, man. And I wanted to try it. I know, man, you should have seen that site too. That was last night. And so she was on it and tried to get off, had a real awkward fall, fell, and man, just gut-wrenching scream. We knew something happened immediately. Took her to the hospital and ended up finding out she fractured her wrist. And so, I mean, it just obviously melted my heart, and she was in so much pain. But I'm coaching, I'm the head coach for her basketball team. And I coach because, you know, I wanted to coach her and the team, and now she's going to miss most of the season. But she looked at me yesterday as we're getting ready to go to the game. She said, Dad, I don't know if I should go. I said, well, babe, what do you mean? She said, well, there's really nothing I can do for the team. I said, oh, baby. There's plenty you can still do for the team. I said, you may be wounded and hurt. I said, but you're going to still be a very special part of this team in this way, cheering them on, encouraging them, helping to get some water. Whatever the team needs, that's what you can help with. You still got a left hand? I do, Daddy. I said, we're going to use the left one then. And here's what I'm saying. For some of us, we have felt like we've been out of the game, or I've done too much for God to love me, or to set me back in a position of ministry or to pursue him again. But I am telling you by the voice and the unction of the Holy Spirit this day, church, that there is no such thing of you being off of his team. You've always been on the team. You've just got to identify your position and role and your place in the kingdom to make a difference. And you just got to see it. And I'm telling you, God is talking to his people. Why? Because we're serious about reaching Fort Wayne for Jesus. And it can't just be on a few. It's going to take an army to rise up, and you're part of it. Would you bow your head where you're at? I want to pray for us. Father, we thank you today for the call, the anointing, the mandate. Man, I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. You are here, God. And you are talking to us. You're challenging us. You're speaking directly to our hearts. We're listening to you, God. We're listening to you, God. We're listening to you. I'm telling you right now, as you're listening for the Holy Spirit and his voice, be obedient to whatever he's speaking to you today. Whatever he's telling you, act on that. Do what he's calling you to do. For some, you need to take that next step. You need to start today getting Growth Track at noon. For some, you need to get out there today and get in a small group and stop doing life alone. Stop doing life alone and start doing it together. Start making the decision, I'm going to do this life together. Don't do this life alone any longer. In the name of Jesus. Look up at me just real quick. I just felt to just say this to you. Just wanted you looking at me just for a minute, and we are going to pray. There's incredible groups. Every group is worth signing up for. Trust me. If you want to do multiple groups, do them. Shop them all. I encourage you. I want to highlight two quick ones. One is our freedom groups. Freedom is not just for those that are wanting to come out of addictions, and although it's very important, if that's a struggle, freedom is for that. But it's also, man, if you've been through hurts, if you've been through wounds, and you're finding yourself again and again, it's like, Pastor, every time I try to take a step forward, I take a step back, and you feel like the enemy is robbing you of freedom. I'm telling you, you need to sign up for freedom groups. Chad and Mandy Muncy oversee that, all right? And Chad's at the back of the room, by the way. Can't miss Chad. He's always up here singing. And his wife, Mandy, incredible people, all right? And he's, you know, like 7 feet tall, so, you know, you can't miss him. Okay, not 7 feet, but 6'4". I mean, he said to me, it's 7 feet, all right? Lord didn't bless me with that height. That's okay. But here's the other thing. The other thing is there's a new group that's starting this semester. God put it on Bethany and I's heart. Bethany's leading it. It's called 10 Steps Towards Christ, Jimmy Evans. It's not just for those that are new in the faith. If you don't know what this spiritual life looks like with prayer and reading the word and just the Christian life, and you're just new at it all, or you've been in this a while and still trying to get some questions answered, I'm telling you, get signed up for it. It's going to help build you. It's a weekly deal that God has just laid on our hearts to do. And so I just want to encourage you, that'll be out there as well. It's a lot of amazing groups. My wife is very awesome, by the way, too. But this is like a great opportunity for men and women to connect in that group. Bow your head again one more time. Sorry, I just wanted to say that to you today. God, I thank you again just for your presence today. I thank you for moving in us. Again, God, I know that you're here, and I know that you're talking to us, and we love you, and we're thankful today. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life, don't leave here today without making that decision. For some of us today, maybe it's just a recommitment of your heart. Maybe you've just walked away from God, and you realize today that Jesus needs to become the priority in your life again. And honestly, like we just talked, just surrendering your life completely. And if that's you on the count of three, I just want you to slip up your hand and say, Kyle, man, that's me. Pastor, I wanna commit my life to God. I wanna recommit my life to God. The count of three, come on, don't hesitate. But if that's you, lift up your hand. 1, 2, 3, all over this place, say, that's me. Yeah. Gotcha. Proud of you guys, yeah, gotcha. Praise God. And put your hands back down. And I'm just gonna lead you in a simple prayer and just pray this after me. Come on, church, let's pray together. And just say, Jesus, I've messed up, and I need your help. I repent of my sins today. I ask you for forgiveness. Save me. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.